This is not just another golf podcast. This is Golf Underground. This is Golf Underground. We just happen to be the third funniest podcast in golf. We interview PGA Tour pros, Hall of Fame athletes, rock stars, business leaders. Sure, we talk about golf, but we have fun. All right, let's do it. Welcome to Golf Underground. Now your hosts, Wardo, Sully, and MLB Hall of Famer, George Brett.
Thanks for joining the Golf Underground. Now, the Golf Underground is brought to you by Star Companies, KC. Experience a more energy efficient and comfortable home with Star's insulation services. Regain functional medicine. Feel better, function better, move better, and look better. Regal Distributing, specializing in the distribution of food service and professional cleaning supplies to a variety of industries. Cowell Insurance, providing brokerage and risk management services for over 25 years. Sono Orthopedics, care plans backed by research and clinical results tailored perfectly to individual needs. Bobsite Ford and Bobsite Independence Kia, where you'll score a double eagle on your next car or truck. Sheridan's Unforked, eating good and feeling good. Lewisburg Ford. Nobody sells more F-150s than Lewisburg Ford. And Celebrity Greens. Put a custom PGA caliber putting green in your backyard for the ultimate golf experience. Now, onto the program.
Welcome to Golf Underground. Holy cow, ESPN Kansas City from the golf stable. That was the longest attempt at an intro. I feel like I was making cold calls. You know how they reject you five times? By the sixth time, they let you in? That's what it felt
like. I've never met Luke, and we had a 20-minute conversation trying to start the show.
God, like, I mean, you don't even have the buzz on yet for your wife's birthday party.
I don't.
This is just you being you. All right, so listen, we're a little excited today. We got a man named Luke Reese. We're going to talk a little bit about Luke here in a second, but we would be remiss, Wardo, if we didn't talk about the nice George story that was played on Monday. You want to kind of talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I got invited to something pretty cool a couple weeks ago, and I was probably because everybody else was busy, so I got the call up. But last night they did the premiere, kind of. I felt like I was in LA, of the new documentary called Brett, which was done by the MLB Network, and it was absolutely fantastic. So it was my first time in a movie theater in probably a decade. And it was absolutely fantastic. I think it was probably an hour and a half to 2 hours. I told George, it's good when you laugh, you cry, and you get a ton of education all within 90 minutes. So pretty awesome. You know, we all know a lot of the stories and all that, but I thought they did a really nice job in terms of that.
Yeah, well, you know, the guy came over. They said they wanted to do a documentary. I go, fine. So he comes over. We sit in my house. We talk for 2 hours. And he leaves. He comes back a week later. Okay, let's go shoot some stuff at the stadium. I have no idea what they're putting together. And then I sat there and I had tears, just reliving moments, you know, great moments, right, and things that have impacted my life. And to hear people, you know, I think they mostly make documentaries about you when you're dead.
Sure, right.
And you don't get to see it.
It's true.
I got to see this
one. That's right.
It was like going to my own funeral and hearing the eulogy. Wow. It really was, but it was pretty cool. I was happy, and it didn't hurt. It didn't hurt, Luke, is that they had a full bar before and after. That's why Kevin was laughing so hard and crying, because he had his little vodkas going.
Tequilas.
I want to ask you this, George. So you've been interviewed a ton over the last, I don't know, four decades now, right? And one interview that stood out was the Dan Patrick one you did. You had a live audience here, and I don't even know where you were when you did this, but
that was I filmed that in LA. I forget what the name of that was called.
Nice audience there, and he's such a good interviewer.
He was the best.
He's so chill, right? But that interview, that kind of broke you a little bit too. Like, you got a little emotional on that, and you think you did on this one. Yet, of all the thousands of interviews you've been through, what do the interviewers do on those that kind of get you to start reliving?
They knew that I always had a sour relationship with my father, and they kind of dwell on that, and they keep asking you questions. Ironically enough, about six, 7 months ago, I woke up one day and I told my wife, Leslie, I had the weirdest dream last night. And you know what? I'm over my dad. I'm over him. He was a bad husband and a bad father. Screw him. I'm done with him. Wow. And he passed away in 92 when I finally realized that. I don't have to sugarcoat what a shitty dad he was.
Right.
You know, because he wasn't a good dad.
Right.
He was not a good dad. I saw him throw my brother through a shower door over 100 stitches in his back.
Jeez.
You know, stuff like that.
Real quick, so Luke can see this in the show, but talk about the, you know, he gave you some flack about not being able to play hemorrhoids in the with hemorrhoids in the World Series. Oh.
So, Luke, this is, we haven't even introduced our guest yet. Okay, so my dad calls me during the 80 World Series, and he says, what the hell? You can't play with hemorrhoids? Jesus Christ, I didn't raise a pussy, you know, and all this stuff. About 10 years go by, and my dad's still working, and all of a sudden my brother says, have you talked to dad lately? And I said, no, why? And he's in the hospital. I go, what's wrong with him? He had hemorrhoids. So I find out what hospital he's in. I call the hospital, Jack Brett's room. They put him through. Hello. I go, you pussy. You can't even sit behind a desk and you want me to go run around and slide? Give me a break. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize how painful that shit would be.
That's payback right there, brother. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, yeah, I can't wait to say when will be an MLB, the final thing.
Here's the 7th. Okay. So that's in 2 days, Thursday night. Yeah, but right. This show won't be out by then, so it doesn't matter.
It might be. Yeah, if I get to work. All right, well, listen, so we're happy to have Luke Reese, and he's going to give us a little bit of the background. Former chairman of Peter Millar, currently working with Say the Fantastic Word.
Well, am I?
Zeus.
Zeus.
How do we pronounce this, Luke?
I pronounce it Zeus.
Shoes.
It's like shoes, but with a SS at the end. But it's pronounced KJUS, spelled KJUS, because the Norwegians don't pronounce a K and a J. They pronounce it as an SH. Shoes. And it's named after essentially the George Brett of skiing. Okay. Lasse Schoofs would be one of the top three or four skiers in history.
Wow.
He's the only person ever to win 5 medals in 1 world championship. That's like being the best rebounder, the best 3-point shooter, the best defensive player. You know, it's like being the best in all 5 things. It's a totally different thing.
5 total athlete.
And how old is Schuss?
Lasse Schuss is about 50 right now.
Okay. Still alive?
Still alive.
Is he a friend of yours?
Still a friend, and he's actually still a part owner of the brand.
Wow.
So he founded it basically. His theory was, he was a ski racer, and he's like, we ski in these like really tight suits that are cold. Once I stopped skiing, I'd like to actually have a ski jacket that would stretch like a ski suit, but not be cold. And he's like, somebody ought to be able to find a way to make insulation stretch. That's what we invented. That's what our patent essentially was all about. And that's what allowed Schuss to become the brand that everybody knows as like, really 3 things. We're about temperature regulation and about full comfort as you feel it. And you're like, I can't even believe it. And then it's incredibly lightweight.
And then you turned it into a golf line. How do you go from ski to golf?
Brand. So in 2000, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves and probably have other questions. And I have a hemorrhoid story, George. but just FYI. So, cause I was in the military out in the field with a lot of gear, and I had a hemorrhoid, and I had to crawl 5 miles at night. Okay, so I'm just gonna say that was one message for Jack Brett that I'd probably like to say. It wasn't that much fun, but I was chairman of Peter Millar, and we sold that at the end of 2012. And I hate establishing great relationships with friends and then suddenly becoming their competitor. It's stupid. It's a bad way to do things. So you don't want to actually go back out and knock somebody off and compete with them. So ultimately for me, the big key was, can I find some other company that would be fun and completely different than Peter Millar? And we found Schuss, and my partner, Brooke McKenzie, who's the president, we essentially adapted a golf line that would be completely technical and unlike anything seen in the golf industry. And because of that, we essentially brought that in, and we've been pretty successful with it so far.
Wow. All right. So how do you, in a crowded marketplace, like you said, George, every tournament we go to, we get the Peter Millar.
Yeah.
What else do we get?
Well, you get a lot of steps below that as well. Like, you don't always get the Peter Millars at the Monday events.
10 years ago, we didn't know the brand Peter Millar. Yeah. So there's been these brands. How did brands like Peter Millar get into a space that I would have thought would have already been crowded? So you did something different with the brand to change the perception. Like, how do you do that? Because you're going to have to do it with juice.
Well, and we've actually sort of done it with juice. Because we got big enough, we got purchased by Acushnet. And we've gone, and they're a public company, so I can't talk about numbers. But a lot of it has to do with, there are roughly 1,000 golf accounts that out of 18,000 that completely matter and that will drive both revenue and image and perception. And we have basically gone, and I'm going to say it, this is just straight up hard work. We've gone out, we started at Peter Millar, we did the same thing, and now Schuss is doing the same thing. You go out and you make friends with all five people who work in the shop at those places. You get them product, you train them, you figure out how it works. And suddenly, people like George, who are playing at one place and then are playing at some place in Arizona, that are playing in California, they start walking in saying, that's what I want to wear. And that's essentially how we did it. And we built the when Brooke McKenzie sort of set this up, she said, listen, I want to make products where every single thing is something I would be honored and proud to give to my best friend. And I don't want to make a single product that I wouldn't sort of have anybody freak out. And I use it as the Augusta, test. I'm like, if the Augusta membership committee called you and said, we'd like a gift, what would you be proud to send your product? Okay. Would you make something that you'd say, they're going to freak out when they do it. They're going to call and want me. Now, I don't think they're going to want me, but they're going to call and want you to be able to be the kind of person that has that kind of product. And so we just have this very high standard as to what we want to make. And I think anybody who's ever put a piece of Schuss on will realize it's just different. And the moment you do it, you just go, wow, it performs at a higher level.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. So instead of wearing two layers, you wear a shirt and one of those jackets, and then you're fine.
Exactly.
Rather than putting on a long sleeve T-shirt, a golf shirt, a windbreaker, and then a shirt over it.
And
because I hate being cold.
And if you were to wear our pieces, first of all, you'd lift them up and they feel like they're nothing. We have several pieces that are so lightweight, you just can't believe it. And then you put it on, you put it in your bag, you don't know it's there. As you're playing, you put it on, you're like, I have complete freedom of movement and I can play with it. There are 80 people on tour, 80 right now on either the LIV Tour or the regular PGA Tour who wear a piece of Schuss. Not a single one is paid for it.
Really?
Yeah, that's me. Okay.
Yeah, really.
The moment you say Phil Mickelson is doing something for free, okay? He finds our stuff. He looks at it and wants to wear it because he knows it actually makes him perform better. And when Bones called us the first time to say, hey, we wanted, Phil wants to try this. If we look at it, you open up when it rained on Saturday, about a third of the players were wearing Schuss rain suits.
So what percentage of those 80 are wearing rain suits versus shirts versus pullovers or?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to tell anybody the performance differential is that great on a shirt. Okay. We can do some pretty special things with shirts, but we really can't. It's hard to make yourself more than 10% better than somebody else. On our rain gear, I am more than happy to stand there and blind test with anybody, anywhere, anytime. And it's just different. It's better. And our president, Brooke McKenzie, has one mission. Just make the best. She never says, what's it going to cost? How's it going to be? She says, make the best. And she pushes that really, really hard.
Oh, that's cool. Great. But I think what's so cool about it is, I think I have a handful of Juice pullovers and clothing. And what's awesome is two, three, four years in, when stuff starts fading or fraying or looking like it's been worn a long time, it's like, is it time to ditch this thing? And it's like, it looks new. And so
that's maybe we're dumb, okay? Because at some point you need new colors, okay? Because at some point when you get a navy blue and you're like, this is perfectly fine. Friends of mine will call me and say, there is no obsolescence for this product. And I'm like, I know. We just make it really, really super high quality. And above all, when you play it, you're going to find yourself looking for it. And I'll make sure that we send you all a piece. And after that, I know I've addicted you. So yeah. Sort of fun. Yeah.
Well, Luke, you might want to rethink how good you make that stuff so that you buy a new one every 2-3 years. You know,
we make new colors. We have new little insights and little things there. So it's sort of like, you know, if you had a baseball team and you have George Brett as your third baseman, you don't really look around. Okay, you know what you got.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that's true. And one thing I want to mention, which is really cool, because I'm always interested in how do you take a brand that nobody knows and make it famous? Okay. So you already told us you make it better than everyone else, but there's a lot of good products out there that still don't hit the market. But something you said is go out to the golf shops, make a shitload of friends, ask for some introductions, and then go rinse and repeat it. And so how important has that been to building Peter Millar? And you're saying it worked there. Go meet a million people with your new brand.
Well, at Peter Millar, when Peter Millar was launched in 2000 and I want to say right around 2000, it was developing and it had a real cachet in the Southeast. And Scott Mahoney is just an unbelievable CEO, just amazing guy. And he's a visionary. And he went out and got great distribution in a bunch of places. And then in 2008, we came in and I was his private equity backer. So, you know, we came in and bought a majority from Sea Island. And we spent a fair amount of time trying to get like super high quality talent. And if you, I know I screwed up the intro here, but you know, Todd Martin is one of those types of people that is that level of talent. And you go out and you get a president who can introduce you to a bunch of people and make things well known. And it's about 3 or 4 years after a whole bunch of people are wearing something that everybody starts to view it as common. And when I first, you know, I laugh about it. And we talked a little bit about fathers here earlier. My dad was like, what is this Peter Millar? What is this Peter Millar brand you're doing? And I was like, Dad, they're pretty good stuff. And he's like, well, it's expensive. And I was like, yeah, but it's worth it. And I bought him one pair of shoes. And he's like, well, I'm 80. I'm not going to need another pair for the rest of my life. These are the best shoes I've ever had. And I'm like, Dad, you need a pair of brown and a pair of black. Okay, you got to get two pairs. And so that's sort of how, you know, I just joke at some point, even your family starts to recognize that you've actually done an okay job. And at shoes, you know, my mom still can't quite pronounce it, but she's in love with it. And she's 93 now, and she recommends it and tells people they ought to buy it because it's her favorite sweater and her favorite stuff. So I don't know.
Tell your dad if he thinks Peter Millar's expensive, just wait till he sees the price tag on shoes.
My father unfortunately passed before shoes got big enough. He was basically, he would have said that. He would have said, there's nobody on the planet who should pay that. And I'm like, Dad, you were a lawyer. You charged $1,000 an hour for people just to get your feedback. Yeah. It's worth it. So it's just tough.
You got tour pros begging to wear it. So it's it's worth the
sticker. I don't know anybody that likes to play golf when it's cold.
Well, you're going to play golf when it's cold more with this stuff on.
Yeah. I will not play in the rain. First of all, I won't play in the rain and I won't play if it's cold.
Okay. And so
don't send him a rain jacket then, because he'll never wear it.
You and I now have a personal challenge. I'm going to get you a couple pieces of shoes and I'm going to change your mind. You're going to come back on your podcast and say, actually, I actually now relish when it's a little bit cold. And I sort of like it when it's slightly rainy because I know I've got an advantage over my competitors. And
it's that good.
That's sort of something. It's like being able to look the pitcher in the eye and know, I know what you're going to throw. You're 2 or 3 up when you're wearing shoes if it rains.
Okay.
Hey, what's your temperature barrier? 50?
50s. 55? Yeah, 50s.
So we'll say 55.
50s. Okay. Right, 50. I just turned 70, and I had a deal when I was like 60 years old. I won't play if the weather's colder than my age. I have to lower that a little bit now.
Well, there we go.
Just a little bit.
Or you got to keep moving to Hawaii or something. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to Arizona tomorrow, and I don't know what the weather is going to be. I'm playing in a father-son tournament with my son Jackson, and he likes cold weather, and I hate it. That's why I live in Arizona, spend a lot of time there in the wintertime, because Kansas City is. It's cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's cold. And so I came in for this movie premiere and I'm leaving. I was here 2 days. I'm heading back to Arizona. So I will go to Whisperrock. I will check it out. And, you know, you play golf at 4 o'clock in the desert out there. The sun goes down. It gets cold quick. It can go from 70 to 50 in an hour.
This is what we love is we love, as we say, places with a cold climate and a hot sun. Okay. That's actually perfect Schuster territory. It's like you use it at 8 o'clock in the morning. You don't necessarily need it at 9:45. And then you definitely need it again at 4:30 as you're coming in. So this is where, and once you put one of our vests on, we're going to figure it out. But George, I'm gauging your size and your shoulders. I think I've got your size right. So we'll figure this one out.
Where does Nick go?
It shouldn't shock anybody who can't see on the screen that you've got pretty broad shoulders. So there we go.
He's okay. Big man.
He's a big man. All right, let's do this. Let's take a short commercial break. When we come back, we want to learn a little bit about this really cool book you wrote, One for the Memory Bank. Really interesting story. And you know, I'm already sensing you're a pretty interesting guy. You're a business guy, but you also kind of got a nice little energy about you, and you seem to put it in these pages pretty good. So we are with my man, Luke Reese, author of the book, One for the Memory Bank, during this commercial break. Check it out on probably Amazon.com and any bookstore near you. There it is. Yep. All right. See you on the other side.
Guys, as the male body ages, testosterone levels steadily decline, and your body's become increasingly unable to produce healthy levels of the primary male hormone, testosterone. At Regain Functional Medicine, we can help you regain your quality of life with testosterone replacement therapy. TRT improves brain function, sleep cycles, heart health, performance, and overall body composition so you can feel better, function better, move better, and look better. Visit us today at ifeelmuchbetter.com. Regain Functional Medicine, with locations in Lawrence and Leawood. Regain is better.
Hey, Brian Sullivan here, and I've got a tip for you. You've got to head to Unforked. It's an amazing restaurant. What I like about these guys is they promise to buy and support seasonal, local ingredients first. And I love the fact that they source from smaller, family, GAP-certified or organic farms, prime-going regions, artisan producers. All I'm getting at is, if you like fresh stuff, Unforked is the place to be. And like they say it, fork or no fork, you can be sure you're getting the highest quality, socially responsible ingredients possible. And not to mention, it's delicious. So whether you're out south or downtown, stop by Unforked for a delicious and healthy meal. Sheridan's Unforked, honest, clean food.
Cowell Insurance Services is your leading program administrator for workers' compensation. They're dedicated to meeting the unique challenges of the insurance industry and assisting employers in reducing their costs. CIS has provided insurance, claim, and loss control services to various industries, including trucking, construction, retail convenience stores, and healthcare, as well as public entities for over 30 years. They work with both retail agents and industry clients, or a combination of the two. If you're tired of fighting the rising costs of premiums and claims, give Cowell Insurance Services a call. Their dedicated staff is ready to find you the best insurance option at the most competitive price. They can help to define or enhance your safety program in order to move you in the right direction in reducing your claim and premium costs. Contact Cowell Insurance Services today, 816-214-4070.
Hey, Brian Sullivan from the Golf Underground here with a little good news. And that good news is that even double-digit handicappers like me can occasionally make a double eagle. All right, maybe not on a golf course, but even guys like me can score when buying a new car or truck. I'm talking about two stores, two brothers, and four generations, treating customers just like family. And I'm talking about our buddies at Bobsite Ford and Bobsite Independence Kia. With these guys, you'll always score two under with double the inventory and double the customer satisfaction. That's the Bobsite Double Eagle. Now, Bobsite offers a wide selection of vehicles and promise to make the car buying process as quick and as hassle-free as possible. Now, whether you have poor credit, no credit, or maybe a first-time car buyer, you can trust Bobsite Ford. And Bobsite Independence Kia will get you into the car or truck you choose with professionalism and attention to your needs. So go visit our buddies at Bobsite.com, but only if you're looking for a vehicle that makes you feel like a U.S. Open champion.
Hey, welcome back. Golf Underground here in the stable with George and Wardo and our new BFF. His name is Luke Reese.
Okay, go ahead and say that again, what you just said.
So, Luke, George has a famous saying. We couldn't even get this show kicked off, and everybody's so busy and got places to be. And you guys, George's famous saying is strangers.
It's when I play golf with someone that I've never played golf with before. And the guy's a good guy. You know, you can play with guys that are bad guys and you really don't enjoy their company. But when I play with a guy that I really enjoyed their company, here's what do I say, Kevin?
You say strangers at noon, Luke, friends for life at five.
And that is true. And I came up with that when I was playing Royal Melbourne in Australia with my son who lived over there. And I went over to visit him and the guys that he worked for over there arranged for golf for us. And I met a guy named Ian Scholes. And Ian was just the nicest guy I've ever met in my life. And I sent him a text after we were in the car driving back to the hotel. And I sent him that. And that's, I said, you know what? I'm going to say that all the time now when I play with someone that I enjoy their company.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, golf, that's what golf does.
Golf is like this shocking window into people's souls. You can tell if a guy cheats. You can tell if a guy doesn't care. You can tell if a guy's an asshole.
You can tell if a dude's got a temper.
You can tell right off the bat. You can tell who you're dealing with almost immediately. I'm like, half the interviews on the planet ought to take place on a golf course, and you'd avoid a lot of bad hires.
Very well said.
You see a lot about a person.
You can tell if the guy's honest or not by telling when he says, "What's your handicap?" and he says, "I'm a 2," and the guy can't break 95, or the guy says he's a 12 and he goes out and shoots 2 under. Yeah. You know, you go, "Hey, I don't want to do business with that guy." You know,
people like the first guy better though.
I have to say, they'll take the money from the first guy. One, you never actually want to win a member guest. You want to come in third place. Okay, you want to be that kind of guy who's always around, always sitting around going, "Too many strokes." But all of a sudden, nobody's saying, "We're in last place. You suck." Okay, I got you. That's
I played in the AT&T Pebble Beach Classic in 87 with Fred Couples. And I was just starting to play, and I was a 17 handicap. And I asked Fred, because I played a lot of golf with him and John Cook at the time. Yeah. I said, "What's my handicap?" And they go, "Well, you know, John, what do you think? He's a 17. And the first day we played Spyglass, I had 1 par, so I was a 17. And then the next day I had 3 or 4. And then on Saturday we were playing at Pebble, and I had like 6 pars and a birdie. And the last day I had like 4 pars and 2 birdies. And I'm on TV, and Gary McCord's just roasting me. Yeah, there's a 17 handicap. And now every time my friends go to Pebble Beach, they take a picture because Fred and I won it.
Okay.
And so I was a 17 handicap. Now I'm a sandbagger.
I'm with you. There's a certain quarterback they're talking about right now who just.
What's that? Dan Marino. Is it Dan Marino?
No, I might say a former Packers who might be playing for the Jets right now. Seems to have done rather well.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I was a 17 handicap. I didn't finish the first day. I finished 2 holes.
Well, this is the whole point about that kind of play is not that you're going to go out and shoot an 84. It's just you're a highly valuable person. I always take pro athletes. If you get a chance to play with a pro athlete, they're not upset about hitting an 8-foot putt. They just do it. They're used to pressure situations. We freak out. We're sitting here shaking and worried. Those guys are just, they step up and drill them. That's the difference. And that's where if you get a professional athlete on the green, they make things.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely. It's a lot of pressure, George.
You're
a pro athlete. You're supposed to make all the 8-footers now.
That's not going to happen.
All right. Well, let's change gears and go on to the book. What made you write a book? One for the memory bank. Big leap from being a private equity guy.
Well, yeah, but not really. It was. So I George, you talked earlier about just sort of, you know, friends can develop over in a four hour time period. If you play golf in the UK, the level to which the banter exists and the exaggeration occurs on a golf course in the UK is shocking. I mean, those guys are, they're more articulate than we are. They're faster. They have funnier stories. You know, they're just all over things. And I learned in 1994, I was a tennis player, and I used to tell people I was a good tennis player, but not when I'm sitting on a Zoom call with George Brett. That I wasn't a good tennis player by those standards. I was a good tennis player in college. And I then decided to play golf, and I was sort of the boss of a bunch of people, and I'm the worst golfer, but I'm quickly moving towards a lower handicap. And as I'm doing it, I'm listening to all the stories. And so I had this like stupid little, you know, BlackBerry back in the day. And I would just sit there in the corner while we're talking, and I would just write down everybody's comments about whatever we did. And I would write all the stories, who did what, who won, what score, what the weather was like. And then on the plane ride home, I'd write a little story. And I would write it, you know, total wise ass, here is what actually happened type thing. And I collected 50 of these over a 10-year period. And I would do it because, as we all know, you get in a bar after a round and everybody will ignore what actually occurred in the, you know, 17 rounds ago. And I could say, wait a second, hang on. Here's an extemporaneous set of notes. The following occurred, the following shot this, on the third hole you lost the ball and tried to find it, you know, one of those. And then I would read the story and I'd have them all cracking up. And everybody's like, you got to make a book out of this. You got to make a book out of this. And I'm like, it's not a book. It's not a book. It's just a bunch of stories. And then I left, and I used to be the head of Wilson Sporting Goods. Essentially, it was a parent company of Wilson. I used to help work with them before this, when I was the president, essentially, of their international division.
What year was this?
This was back in, I left in 2002. And so when I left, I took a one year off, and I wrote a story in Travel and Leisure Golf, publish it. And then they called me and they said, well, that must be a book. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, yeah, of course it's a book. And I thought, like, somebody's going to pay me to be a writer. Okay. This is sort of funny. And so they bought my article, and I thought, well, that's just hilarious. I mean, you know, you're not getting paid a lot, but it's sort of funny. And so then I sat down and I sort of melded these into what might be a book. And all of a sudden I had some form of it. And then I got busy. Then we bought a company. Then I bought another company. Then I became something else. And suddenly it just sat down under a shelf. COVID hit. And on March 13th of 2020, a hyperactive guy with a lot of coffee and a computer got stuck in an office in Chicago with nobody around. And I took the book out and I laid all the chapters out all the way around my office. I built a whole putting mat and everything else because nobody was coming in. I thought it was going to be 3 weeks for COVID. But I thought, this is my time. And I came in the morning at 5 that next morning and just started putting it all together and turned it into a book. And 3 weeks later, it was in a format that I was able to send it out to friends. And 1 week later, I sent it to a publisher, and he called me an hour later and said, I'm your publisher. I'm doing 10,000 copies. And I went,
so you wrote it in 3 weeks.
Yeah. That's so crazy. It That's was, well, I'd written stories before, but I turned the stories into like chapters and reel. Then when the publisher called me, and this is Brian Lewis, who's sort of a well-known publisher in golf. He does all of Tom Doak's books. He's done, you know, the greatest golfer who'd ever lived. He's done all these kind of things. He called me and said, let me get you an editor. And I said, before you do get me an editor, could I try one thing? He goes, yes. And I said, okay, you randomly pick a chapter. I'll work with somebody to edit it. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to present it to you. You read it. And if you're happy, I get to have that editor. And he's like, fine. You know, if you know somebody who's bigger than this, great. He goes, but I know a lot of the big ones. I said, great. So my editor and I got together, cranked it out, cracked each other up for 4 hours straight, just working on the whole thing, cut the article, cut the chapter in half, sent it back to him. And he's like, that is the best editing job I've ever seen. It completely kept your essence, but also tidied it up. And he goes, so who is this? And I said, it's my daughter.
No.
And he's like, you can't have your daughter as your editor because she's got to make the final call. I'm like, I respect her enough. She gets to make the final call. So then I got to spend the next 20 days on the phone with my daughter on Zoom, typing and editing, trying to make her laugh. And her reading stories about her father as a 30-year-old. And George, you talk about moments that make you cry. Those are moments that make you cry. You're like, right. My daughter got to know me as a 30-year-old, and she's now a 29-year-old. So it's like we were able to sort of have this weird moment where she was in a high-rise in New York City, I was in a high-rise in Chicago, and we edited the thing together.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Good. Pretty good. So she's is she single?
Yeah.
We think Charlie, is Harry? No, it's three boys.
I have a 30, 29, and 28-year-old son in Kansas City.
Are they hardworking?
Just curious.
Okay. She's hardworking. She's rather smart. She's, you'll see on the back of the book, she was a Phi Beta Kappa at Princeton. Worked on Wall Street.
Okay, you said enough.
But
your kids look like you.
We can use some good athletic genes. She's a smart kid.
And Luke, you want to hear George's favorite quote of all time?
This is his quote.
Well, okay, awesome. Okay. Well, one thing, you retired from Wilson Sporting Goods in 2000 and what?
2002.
I retired from Wilson Sporting Goods in 1993. I used the A2000 glove for 20 years.
Yeah, so you
that was a pretty good glove.
You would have known Chris Considine.
Oh, yes. Jack Fetty. Yeah. Long before you worked there, Jack Fetty was my guy.
Okay.
And so, he was like one of my best friends. So I'll tell you one story before I got to go join my kids and my wife tonight. You guys will go on for another 5 or 6 minutes.
Your son-in-law, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes. So my oldest son, Jackson's going into high school. And the football coach comes up to him the first day and he says, hey, Jackson, I just want to introduce myself. My name's John Stoner. And he says, well, nice to meet you, sir. My son's real polite. And he says, you play football? And he goes, yes, sir. And he says, how about your brothers? And he says, yeah, they all play. And he says, man, we're going to have a really good team when we get three Brett boys on this team at Shawnee Mission East. That's the high school.
Yeah.
And Jackson says to the coach, he says, coach, before you get too excited, I want to tell you one thing. And he said, what's that? He said, we got my dad's brains and my mom's athletic ability, and that's not a good combination. So my senior year, my son was the senior. His senior year, he was a center, and his younger brother was the guard. So, you know, put the athletes in running back and wide receiver and quarterback. I had two linemen and a wide receiver.
Well, we can all analyze this thing, but I bet it's not too much bad there.
That's fantastic. Great.
Well, you enjoy yourself with them.
Yes, and, I will.
I will. I'll make sure I get you a copy of the book so you guys can read it. And it's the character that I'm essentially writing about in this thing is a guy named Bondi. And Bondi worked for me, but he was that kind of guy that never, ever let me be the boss except in the office. In the office, I was in charge. Outside of the office on the golf course, he was the boss. And he called me young Mr. Reese. And it's 18 different chapters away that Bondi finds a way to beat me and essentially humiliate me in some way, shape, or form. So,
is it fiction?
This is all true stories. This is nonfiction. Wow. So this guy Bondi is some combination of he's Winston Churchill and James Bond together. He was that. He's a fascinating guy, articulate, hilarious Scotsman, and just the kind of guy that you play golf with one time and you want to play golf with him every single time. Like, we put 12 names in a cup. The moment they got Bondi, everybody's excited. He's one of those guys.
Kind of like you, George. Everybody wants to play with George. Yeah.
Everybody wants to take my money.
Strangers at noon, besties at five.
Five.
He says five, Luke, because he always needs at least 1 hour in the pub afterwards.
Understandable.
He plays quite quick. Well, let's take a commercial break.
Let's do that. We're gonna let you go. Okay. We're gonna let George head out. So say goodbye to Luke, and then we'll wrap it up with
a pleasure.
George, it's a pleasure to meet you. And you too. I'll be in touch, and I'll reach out to Todd as soon as we're off the call here. So
that's great.
All right, stay with us. Wardo's got his famous E9. So come on back. Golf Underground here in the stable.
Hey, Brian Sullivan of Golf Underground with my favorite orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Kevin Witte from Sano Orthopedics. Hey, Doc, golf season's over. My back is killing me. I know it's football season, so you get a lot of kids coming in, blown ACLs, all sorts of body parts with problems. And then, of course, those baseball players. I know you fix a lot of elbows. Why is Sano Orthopedics the absolute best sports medicine orthopedic group in Kansas City?
Well, if you want to see the guys in town, I've had the best orthopedic fellowship training in sports medicine, including training with Dr. James Anders and Dr. Larry Lemack. Come see us. We individualize patients' plans to get them back to that activity and that sport that they love, and we actually care and listen to our patients and follow up with them and make sure that they're getting the results they need.
Okay. And so the three things that separate you: number one, best training; number two, you specialize in getting people on that field; number three, you're actually listen. Where can I learn more? Because you got me all in and I don't really want to get fixed, but it's time.
At sanoorthopedics.com, 816-525-2840.
Hi, this is George Brett, Hall of Fame baseball player, and I've been playing golf for over 35 years. Hitting the ball far was never my problem, but the closer I got to the greens, that's when my problems began. When I wanted a golf practice area in my backyard, I called Celebrity Greens. They are the industry leader in custom-built synthetic golf greens. These championship-caliber, low-maintenance greens roll great, react like real bent grass, and hold chip shots that check and spin. I absolutely love mine, not only in Kansas City, but also in Arizona. Call the pros at Celebrity Greens at 1-888-507-7960 or visit them online at celebritygreens.com. Practice like the pros, or people like me that want to be pros, right in your own backyard.
Hey, Brian Sullivan, Golf Underground, with a little tip for you. If you're looking to buy a new Ford, you have to check out my buddy, Jason Gudenkauf at Lewisburg Ford. They've been saving Midwest Ford buyers thousands of bucks for over 40 years because they do business the right way. They sell everything, check this out, for $50 over invoice. That's simple and cheap. And they win a lot of awards. In fact, they won Ford's President's Award 17 times. That's the top Ford award. And they only give it to dealers with superior customer satisfaction in sales and service. So they know how to take care of customers better than anybody. Now, what these guys know how to do also, keep this in mind, sell trucks. Lewisburg Ford has sold more F-150s than any other Ford dealership in greater Kansas City. That's 2 years running. And last year, they were the number one F-150 sales leader in the entire state of Kansas. So, no hassle. $50 over invoice pricing, unparalleled customer satisfaction, and a huge selection. That's a perfect recipe for selling trucks. So, check out all their inventory and prices online at lewisburgford.com or give them a call at 816-444-2300.
New golf clubs, a big screen TV to watch the U.S. Open, or maybe even a new golf cart that I've got my eye on.
No matter how you choose to spend the savings, if you're looking to put a dent in your monthly heating and cooling bills, the answer may be right over your head. If your attic isn't insulated properly, you're missing out on a prime opportunity to cut costs. Call the certified energy experts at Star Companies, Inc., 816-353-2160, for a free estimate to learn how they can help you save money. 816-353-2160, or visit starcompanieskc.com.
Hey, welcome back, Golf Stable, Wardo, Sully. George just left the building because,
trunk,
you know what?
Trunk slam. Because he had ice cream in the car.
He had ice cream in the car, but I think it's important to know that here in the Golf Stable / Golf Underground, family first, Wardo. It's always family.
Family first.
Which, by the way, Luke, after many years of thought, prayers, and stipulation, Wardo finally had his first child only 2 months now.
We are 8.5 weeks in.
8.5 weeks in. He's a new father, old Wardo.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I don't want you to think he's 25 years old either.
Okay. Boy or girl?
Boy.
Fantastic. I have two girls. I have two girls, and I'm the happiest guy on the planet with two girls. But that's it's pretty cool.
And
are you getting any sleep?
It's way better. The first couple of weeks were obviously had its challenges, and then we adopted a sleep training technique or system, and so it's pretty regimented, and the kid, he sleeps quite a bit, and he's pretty happy little fella. So
okay,
I'm sure, knock on wood, things will get.
Did you go baby wise?
We went, it's called For the Love of Sleep, I believe. And some gal out of Wichita, Kansas, whom Patrick Mahomes used. And so, I don't know, my wife saw it on social media and here we are.
It's good enough for Mahomes, it's good enough for you, right?
Yeah, that's what I would say. Absolutely.
There we go.
His name is Grayson. So I don't know why she could have chosen Juice instead of Grayson.
That would be kind of an edgy.
That would be an edgy, sort of a Scandinavian type kid.
I think I would have liked that.
He'd be like in a Viking movie on Netflix. I mean, like when he got
who
older.
Who wouldn't like having, I mean, you sort of get that. I mean, I'm sort of partial to the Shield Maidens on the Viking shows, but that's a whole separate topic. Okay.
Lagertha.
I mean, she's killing a lot of people.
She's one of my favorites. She is one of my favorites. Ragnar is my, you know, he's the stud, but, what do you think of the Last Kingdom? Last Kingdom versus
Last
Vikings.
Last Kingdom was absolutely spectacular. I watched that. I've only watched it three times from start to finish. So I guess that would be not too much. I spend a lot of time on airplanes and I like to binge watch. And I have to say that was a Ragnar Lothbrok was a just a great character sort of running through there. And, you know, I thought he did a wonderful job. And
I love it. The Last Kingdom was so good. So many of these series, like we just finished. Have you watched Succession yet?
I'm kind of halfway through it, and yeah.
Have you seen that one?
Please Luke? Don't talk about Succession. I am exactly halfway through it, and I don't want to.
Okay, I would absolutely for our listeners who binge watch. But yeah, you know that one sucked me in. But I will tell you the Last Kingdom finale. I felt like I got the closure I wanted. All right. Yeah. I'm going to leave it at that. Some of these, you don't get the closure that makes me feel nice. I like to feel nice when it's all done. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. I can still see them coming back in 10 years. And it was something changed. Somebody who was nice to somebody isn't quite telling the truth anymore. So
there's so much ability. Yes, that could happen. They left.
There's always a contriving person there trying to cause you to have a bad round of golf, as we might say. So there we go.
Yeah. All right. Tougher. Well, listen, I want to do a little bit more on this book before we hit you up with Wardo's famous rapid fire questions. One, I think it's cool that you wrote a book. I wrote a couple business books. I wrote a sales book and a leadership book. So I understand how hard it is, but I also understand how difficult it is to do it that quickly, right? And something tells me, Luke, you didn't use ChatGPT to write the words for you, which it makes you, that 3 weeks came out of your own brain. It's just kind of rare, right? We have to kind of keep that skill amongst the kids, but it's cool. And you'll always have those stories in that book. That's a big journal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
To me, and the other thing is when you actually get a copy of the book, you're gonna see it. We have 11 paintings in the book. So my daughter and I decided, we started out with we sort of want Winnie the Pooh style paintings. And we're like, let's just get cool little drawings. So people, when they see something, they go, that's that. And it's just a subliminal issue for people as they're being marketed to as they're reading a story. And they remember things better. And we then said, let's just get this artist, happens to be my former wife's sister, and let's have her do these paintings. And she did the first one. And it came back so exceptionally good. We're like, these are way more complicated than we thought, but we can find a way to get them into the book. And once we got them in the book, we're like, how many can we get done? So then my daughter and I are like thinking about how to negotiate with her aunt and essentially say, she's got to drive an artist because we had a production schedule. We have only a month and a half before we have to go live and hit print. And so she's like, okay, I got to space these out. I got to tell her, I got to get one for this chapter, then that chapter, then this, and then everything else will fill in. So we had the book properly done. And they wound up just being, frankly, shockingly cool. And like, you know, these are, I don't know if you can see them or not.
Yeah.
So these are all the drawings done. So like, that's my kids, his little kids.
Ah, cool. You
know, look. So these paintings are like different golf courses, different things. So we were able to do that and just have something that would make the book. So for me, the memory is, I got a memory of a book. I wound up selling almost 15,000 copies of it. And it's just become like something that was just sort of fun. And people call me all the time and, you know, saying, wow, I loved your book. It meant something to me. Yeah. And I'm like, did it make you want to play more golf? Yeah. Did it make you want to spend more time with friends you love? And did it make you want to stop saying, I'll get to that?
All right. Question for you here, Luke, have you met our boy, Tom Coyne?
We brought that up. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Tom Coyne. He's done his book actually is inspiring. I mean, his books. He's a professional. It's what he does for a living.
Yeah.
And when he did a course called Ireland, I was like, that's just cool. And our writing was so dramatically different. And you won't read a single, you read one page of his and one page of mine, you'll say these are two totally different writers. But I read his story and I was like, this guy just gets it. He just gets it.
Yeah.
And I was so deeply impressed with his work. And I thought, some guy just decides to go walk all of Ireland and write about it. Why have I not written my book? And that's when I just sat down and just drowned it out.
So that's funny. So that kind of inspired you a little bit to just to go ahead and do it.
There are a couple of people who have had an amazing influence. Jim Dodson wrote Final Rounds and about his father. And Jim Dodson, I think, Jim Dodson could tell a story about peeling an onion and make it funny. And I just, when Jim Dodson tells his story or talks about his stuff, I'm just like, okay, that guy's hilarious. So there's a bunch of people who've sort of had an impact on me and said, I'd like to be one of them. I wouldn't mind doing it. And
yeah.
I'm not a full-time writer, but I've written one. I've got a second book in the works and we'll see what happens. But
I'm in the presence of two gentlemen who've written books. So I might have to figure out a way to write.
Well, Luke, I'm not sure we should.
I'm a dork and I'm a nerd for the golf swing. So let's get on some sort of book, Kevin.
Well, let me give you one more story on a great, I was thinking as you're telling me about this book and I was doing a little homework on it. As surprised as you were that someone was interested in the story, weirdly, stories like this can turn into screenplays. Okay. Now, I had a business radio show for 9 years here in Kansas City, and I was sitting in a bar in the Lower East Side of New York City called the Waverly Inn, an old fashioned, one of the oldest pubs in all of New York. And I sit at the bar. And I meet that the bartender and my wife are having a great time. And I, you know, it comes out what I do. I'm a speaker, right? So I do keynotes and those sort of things. And he said, you need to meet my friend, Jerry Chamalis. This guy slept on the beaches of Venice Beach. He was a heroin addict, crack addict, absolute drug addict, homeless for several years. And one day he decided I'm going to pick up and I'm going to go and I'm going to get a sales job. And he starts banging the phone, selling print cartridges for, long story short, I said, I got to get this guy on the show because it was called The Entrepreneurial Moment. So I get him on. We become famous friends and he's just a wonderful guy. Now, I hadn't heard from him for a year and a half. Out of the blue, this Jerry Chamalis, who went on to be a CEO of Rhino Tech, a big, and 60% of all employees were either formerly incarcerated or came out of drug rehab. Wonderful story.
Wow.
So he calls me excited one day and I hadn't spoken forever. Hey, Brian, I got to tell you what happened today. He said, I live in Park City, Utah. Now I bounce between there and California. And this bookstore that I go to all the time, I found this book that I love. And I went up to the owner of the store and she said, oh, that guy who wrote the book, he comes in here all the time. Right. He said, Brian, I just bought the movie rights to that book. And guess what? Guess who I met with 2 days ago? Martin Scorsese. So I bought the rights to the book. I just had a meeting with Martin Scorsese. He said, I'll let you know how it goes. Well, it was about 6 months later. He came out. He said, yep, the name of the movie, they're going to call it The Irishman. And Robert De Niro's going to be the main guy.
Wow. Wow.
Right. I mean, so you never know. Right. It's funny. Yep. Stories like that. You get, you know, if the story is good.
Yeah.
Put some characters behind it.
This Bondi is the lead. There's no doubt about it. He could carry a movie. He could carry a TV show. And I think, you know, I can't, but he can. And I'm a good foil. I'm the good chump who basically loses to him at all times. But the funny thing is, I've had probably 6 or 7 people from Hollywood call and say, are you interested? And I'm like, I'm always interested to talk. But I didn't write the book to go turn it into something else. And above all, I'm not going to let somebody adulterate Bondi. I'm not going to let somebody take Bondi and turn him into a different character. It's got to be, you know, that's got to be the character. True. So if you want to do it, we'll do it right. If we don't, we won't. So
well said.
Oh, Luke.
Well come said.
On, take the check, Luke, for crying out loud. What are you doing?
He doesn't need the check.
Hey, but if I don't get five questions, I got to ask you this.
I donated all my profits to caddies during COVID. So there we go.
To what?
To a caddy funds. During COVID.
Oh, good move.
That's awesome.
Good move.
So, so all the caddies in the UK who didn't have work, there were a lot of them that got fairly large size checks. The funds, not
well done. Well done. Hey, before we get in rapid fire, final question. Who would you hope would be cast as you and as Bondi? What actors?
Bondi could be a whole bunch. First of all, if we think back about it, Bondi could have been a Sean Connery. He could have been
thinking
one of
that.
Characters. He would have had to be a little more paunchy than Sean Connery, but he would have been that. I think I would be sort of a young, wise ass type. I'm not really sure, you know, it's almost a Hugh Grant, a young Hugh Grant, if you will. Sort of somebody who's able to sort of say funny things, but also have bad things happen to him, but take it with it.
I got it. It's Jason Sudeikis.
There we go.
Right? I mean, he's I mean, he's perfect.
I'm in. So there we go. So that's
okay.
So we will. So if we wind up getting Jason Sudeikis a copy of the book, you never know. Maybe he decides to turn it into his character. But Bondi is the big character. He's the winner in this thing. So when you read it, you'll fall in love with Bondi. You'll want to play golf with him.
All right. Well, I'm going to Amazon.com and I'm buying one for the memory bank because I like golf. I like authenticity. I like guys like you.
Author.
And, you know, I just I'm all in. This is going to be on my, dare I say, the toilet in our bedroom. My wife is the book, A Course Called Ireland. And it's probably been there 12 years and she won't move it for some reason. And I won't move it. So maybe your book will get rid of coin. You're the new book in the shitter.
You know what? Who wouldn't want to be your new toilet book? Okay?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm sort of in. It's a hardback. It's hardback. So it's going to be one of those things.
There's emotional bond there, right?
I mean, when you're absolutely.
And you're thinking
it's got sort of a rubberized finish on the outside. So it's got a nice, I mean, I'm a marketing guy and we tore the pages. The pages, we paid a little extra to have the pages torn. And I think my ex-wife reviewed it on Amazon. It's the only bad review I got on Amazon. They're torn pages. So I'm like, that's my ex-wife. Okay.
We'll get that review off of Amazon.
All right. What time is it?
We have the emergency 9 rapid fire questions. Sheridan's Unforked, Eating Good, Feeling Good. Luke Reese, are you ready?
I'm ready.
We're looking for prompt responses. You can always pass. So that Sully doesn't have to spend a lot of time editing this bad puppy.
Wimps pass.
All right, here we go.
Don't be a wimp, Reese.
Hole number one. The best golfer you've ever played with.
Gene Sarazen.
Whoa.
Okay. But I didn't, I played, he hit one shot and we teed off. I've played with a lot of people, but if you read the book, I played with Padraig Harrington too. So I've got multiple winners,
major winners, right?
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Most influential figure in the world that you've played golf with?
Bill Clinton.
There. I knew the president. See, that's a good one. Show off. That's fantastic.
All right. Favorite sport to play or watch other than golf?
College football.
Oh,
next.
University of Michigan.
Okay. Ooh, Harbaugh. I love it.
I'm a major Michigan guy. I love what Harbaugh's done. And I think he's built an organization that should be able to survive Harbaugh. He'll go back to the NFL and do a good job.
And Harbaugh married a gal from here, and I think he's fun to watch. Great coach. And yeah. All right. Hole number four. Rory or Phil?
Rory. But hang on. It's Rory. I would rather play with Rory. I don't want to gamble with Phil. I'd rather play with Rory. I'd like his demeanor, his banter. Probably don't agree with him on golf ball rollback right now. So I'm like, what's he talking about? Aside from that, the golf ball. Who needs a golf ball to be shorter? What are we talking about here?
It's ridiculous.
There are 200 players on the planet who can hit the ball too far. The rest of us suck, okay? Sorry to say it.
It's ridiculous.
We don't need technology to make this game harder. I think it's pretty hard.
And a lot of other sports, you're playing using a different ball for college football than you are NFL. It's like you don't have – if they're going to punish the tour pros and make it harder for them, why do you got to publish the mere mortals? I get it. They can't be making 400 skews of golf balls, but
– true.
They don't even need to make it harder for the golf pro. They could just make the tour pro – the tour pros will play in a parking lot if you put enough money out there. It's pretty apparent. They don't care about a lot other than money. Okay. Right. So – I'm just sort of, so I'm mad at Rory right now, but it would be Rory.
The rollback is, it's brutal.
Well, one final thing, and this isn't it funny over the past, since we started this podcast, play it, tee it forward. Is it right? Hasn't there been a whole premise? Well, now was the point you wanted people to have fun and hit the ball good and have a good score and enjoy the game? And this is kind of a little opposite of that.
Why don't we all have to go back and play with blades? Okay,
and then the other thing is, if they want to make it harder on the pros, play courses with dog legs that are firm and fast with rough and make them play to spots.
That's all you have to do. Look, do you remember we talked about Marion? And everybody's like, well, those six holes at Marion are just too short. Guess what? Those guys didn't beat up Marion. It had too many dog legs. It had too many shots where they basically had to hit a certain way.
100%.
They're solving a problem that doesn't exist.
All right.
True.
What's your take on Liv? Has Liv been good, bad, or indifferent for the game looking back in 10 years? 10 years moving forward.
These are all professional golfers. They'll do pretty much anything for money. I'm sort of saddened that golf is like in this weird state where we can't figure out who plays where, when, how, and why. That my mom and I can't just sort of turn on the TV and just watch it and think about it. Will Liv be good for it? I don't know. Is there too much money in it? I think there is. Are the players getting too much? Probably. So would I rather Liv not be around? Probably.
So I know my answer's at.
But I frankly don't care.
Okay.
I care more about the golf that we play than them.
I'm going off script a little bit, but I think I know the answer. But have you watched more, less, or about the same amount of golf since Liv?
About the same.
Yeah.
I'm a less guy.
Are you?
Well, no. I'm probably a little bit less just because. I mean, I will watch the majors from start to finish. You turn on the British Open, and I just basically you can cancel my Thursday through Sunday. I am going to watch that. You get the Masters, and it's like, okay, if you're going to have a vasectomy, you do it on Thursday morning of the Masters. Okay, that's when you're going to sit and watch TV the whole time. But it's. These are just important. Like I set the clock by those moments. And I don't watch a lot of other stuff regularly, except when my mom and I used to watch. I used to love watching the European Tour, and I don't really anymore. I've lost the ability to even know their names.
Yeah. All right. Pine Valley or Augusta?
Pine Valley. I love the holes at Pine. I've only played Augusta once. I loved being there. I loved the opportunity to go out and play the course and sort of move around where the pros play. I just think when you play Pine Valley, it's just every single hole was like one of the best holes you've ever played in your life.
It's so good. I've played Pine Valley, have not played Augusta. So when you go next, Luke, you can take me. All right.
Well, I don't have a right to take somebody, but
I figured. All right. Tiger, Nicklaus, or Hogan?
Well, I like Hogan a lot. I'm not going to put him in the same league as Tiger and Nicklaus. Obviously he got injured in his car crash, and that affected him to a degree. I love Tiger for what he did. I think Tiger is probably the single greatest golfer to play, even though he's going to finish with 15 majors. I think Tiger and Jack are so far ahead of anybody else, it's a joke. I just think Tiger, when he was at his prime, was truly unbeatable, and Jack was darn close to unbeatable. So Jack had all those seconds, but if Jack, I always felt like if Tiger got to the final two, on the last day, if Tiger was in the lead, it was over.
Absolutely.
And if Jack got to the last day, Jack was going to be right there. Okay. And Jack got to the last day more often than Tiger did. So, we're splitting hairs, both shockingly great, amazing golfers. But I think those two are head and shoulders above anybody else.
All right, we got two holes left. Hole 8, favorite course in the world?
Tara Eady, New Zealand.
Yes.
If I had 10 rounds left in my life, I'd play Tara Eady over and over. Google it. It is. Have you guys seen pictures of it?
No, but I have two New Zealanders that teach alongside me, the Hillier brothers, and they are from New Zealand, and they have talked about it a ton.
Okay. Tara Eady's a Tom Doak golf course on the coast. It's ranked top 20 in the world. If it had 50 years of history, it would be ranked number 3 in the world, or number 2, or number 1. It is absolutely off the charts insane. It is, every single hole is one of the best holes you'll ever play, and every single view is one of the best golf views you'll ever see. Just
we gotta go. Come on, let's go over and see the family.
Let's go over and see the family.
Which, hey, yeah. and this, Luke, so Wardo, talking about these two New Zealand boys, you went to the University of Kansas, up the road here, and Wardo has been coaching them really even when they were in school. Last year, they were both on the Latin America PGA Tour.
Okay.
One of them qualified top 5, so he's on the Corn Ferry. His other brother, who's just a stud, probably more athletic, he's probably going to be at. So he's the top. New Zealand boys have been part of our family. He's been, they're like a brother. I'm like Uncle Sully, but these kids are just fantastic.
We're going to third stage of Q1. We leave Saturday with Charlie.
That's awesome.
You're on the back. Have you?
Determined? Oh no, I'm 0-2 on the bag. I've caddied for him twice in Corn Ferry events, and we're 0-2 on cuts made. So coach goes in early and leaves early.
Who's on the bag?
So the former Kansas assistant is on the bag for Charlie. He's no longer coaching, but he's going to caddy for him, which is an incredible gesture. I think it'll be a great fit for him and way better than me on the bag.
Nice.
All right. Final question for Luke. At Tahiti, you're going to bring your dream foursome. Go.
Whoa. Okay. Bondi to the book.
Bondi?
Okay. Bondi is one. My business partner, Brooke McKenzie.
Okay.
The president, the CEO of Shoes.
Whoa. Hang on. You're giving a spot to the CEO of Shoots. And we're talking like you could say Jesus Christ right now, Reese. We're talking in history.
He thinks highly of this guy. We're going to buy some of his products.
Jesus Christ.
We can bifurcate this and have
yes,
a
week. All right. Thing. Yes, we can.
Okay. Okay. I mean, listen. And then first of all, you've never played with the CEO of Shoes. You might actually discover that he's that damn much.
You know
fun.
What? Hey, okay. By the way, that guy is no Bondi. Okay. He's no Bondi.
He's no Bondi because she's no Bondi. Okay. Let's just start.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But I can tell you, she can outdrive Bondi. So I'm just going to go on record. It's just saying that's sort of a solid one. If I'm picking a third person and I'm going to go with, I'm not going to go with Jesus. just because I'm not sure he'd done that. He'd be a little too patient on the golf course. Okay, I don't have quite enough spark. I think he'd be very, very calm about the whole thing. I might like to play with Winston Churchill or something like that.
Very
cool. And I think they'd have enough. They'd have enough whiskey down there to have it be a lot of fun. Yeah. I think he'd be a good one. So I went with Bondi, Brooke McKenzie, and Winston Churchill. That's an arcane and bizarre foursome.
Solid.
With, dare I say, Ragnar Lothbrok caddying on the bag.
I might have Lagertha caddy on the bag. Oh. But then again, you miss a putt and suddenly you got a dagger, you know, taking your head off.
Okay? That would be the Vikings Hooter Tour. It's a totally different thing.
Whole different thing. So hopefully that was a bizarre answer.
That was,
if I was talking about four golfers, Bobby Jones would be one of them. Gene Sarazen, without a question, would be one of them. And I would probably want Walter Hagen, because I think that would be a fun group. Okay. That's guys out there having a blast.
Those are old school. Hey, so
You're like Tom Coyne. He's
got Coyne. I know.
These are old school partiers. Okay.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Hey, we had Brandel Chamblee on. And,
he
was fantastic.
Spent an hour and a half. He sat in the passenger or the driver's seat of his car, and he's so smart, and he loves the game so much, right? Kind of like what we're feeling from you. Like you really love the game. You know, and that's fun. I mean, that's energy. It's awesome.
And Randall recently came out about the golf ball. Like, what are they thinking? Like, why make the game harder? And Randall's publisher is my publisher, by the way. So
very cool.
This
has been great. Really appreciate your time. You've been nothing but kind to us. George was fired up to be on the show with you, and I'm glad we got him before he goes out of town, because obviously, as you can see, our Zoom game isn't too great. So,
and when you send George a Zoom link, it's about a 33% chance he'll figure it out.
The dude was 1 for 3, and he got him into the Hall of Fame. So
that's a good point. Great analogy. That's the art right there.
When you can fail 70% of the time and be in the Hall of Fame, you're doing something right.
That's pretty good. All right. Well, listen, everybody,
the way to end this call. Okay. There
we go. But check out Luke Reese's book, One from the Memory Bank. You know, just as I did my little perusing on Amazon, it's just, if you like golf, it's fun and you laugh, right? Which makes a good book. Find a topic you really like. And if you're watching this show, you probably like golf. If you don't take yourself overly seriously, I think this is a book for you, right? And it's got a lot of great characters. And so I'm all in, and I hope our listeners are too. So you come back and join us once this hits 100,000 and you're on to your second book, would you?
If it takes 100,000, it may be a little while for us to get there. But
if you ever make it to KC and see your nephew, we'd love to have you out for a hit or bring you by our facility. And so we're just a quick flight away.
I would like that. Or if you guys are smart, you get my nephew to take you up to my house in Wisconsin, Toledo. And you fire up the Traeger and you're grilling all day long while you go play 36.
Sounds amazing. I heard Lido's awesome. So
yeah. I took him up there this summer. So let me know.
Okay? I know.
He's a good golfer.
Yeah, we've been working hard. I think he's dropped his handicap 2 or 3 strokes, and we're gonna keep working on it. And he's down to probably a 0 or 2, and he can flat out hit it. So, and maybe we'll get your CEO on the show if he's that great of a guy. We need to meet the guy.
It's a girl.
It's a she.
Even better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
I'll text Jesus Christ right now. DM your CEO, and we'll make a family out of it. And if I have to carry the bags, I'll do that too.
She got picked as a dream foursome partner over some fairly well-known people in history. Okay. There we go.
Which, exactly. By the way, I think you're right. Jesus is a little too dry. John the Baptist would be my stud.
All right. So, hey, come on. We are all out. We're out. Luke Reese, my man. Hey, no, you. There's a nut.
This is it. It's closer. One for the memory bank. And you know what this show was, Mr. Reese? One for the memory bank. So come on back next week. Golf Underground from the stable.